I think that you fully understand by now that one of the things that we have been endeavoring to do during these last few weeks of Easter is to reclaim the church year. And today we come to what is the evening of the day of resurrection. It's hard to imagine that these events that we have been celebrating in the last few weeks are the events that took place on the day of resurrection. Jesus has had two times when he has eaten with his disciples, and one of those was in the latter part of the reading that we had today. We remember the other time that we had a meal together here at the church was on Thomas Sunday, when we acknowledged that Thomas had a reawakening or a resurrection experience. The other time that Jesus had a meal with his disciples was on the Emmaus Road when he appeared to them. And here in this passage, he appears again inside of this closed-in room with his disciples. I cannot help but to stop and to think about the meals that I have enjoyed in my lifetime that are a special memory to me. I can remember a few times when sitting at the table, my dad would give me some type of instructions for life. It was a time when we would share together, and I knew that my father's concern for me and for our entire house was that we would be the type of people that worshiped God and honored Him in our life. I had a good friend named Reverend James Kaysen who pastored in Greenville. He was one of my father's best friends. He and I often hunted deer together and would do other things together, so he was a family friend. And one day, as a young person sitting at the table, I remember him looking across the table and asking this question to me. "And Terry, what would God have you to do? What does God want you to do?" As I remember those times together, that is a question that always echoes across my soul. God, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? What is it you would have me to say? As I think about that time in my life, I will admit that it was not the best spiritual time for me. And since that meal, there have been resurrection experiences for me. And I would pray that that would be the same for you. That just like these disciples that we are reading about today, they had a resurrection experience. I would hope that we too would have numerous types of resurrection experiences in our lives. And that we would also realize how important meal times are. The times when we fellowship together and we share and we talk and we give guidance. I'm always reminded in a time like this when the young boy was sitting at the meal at home with his mom and dad, and they were criticizing the worship service that day, and criticizing the preacher and criticizing the hymn selections and all the other things. And the little fellow looked up and says, "Well, it wasn't a bad show for a dollar." So we have had all these types of conversations around the meal table. And they do give guidance to those who are listening. Leonard Sweet, in his sermon After the Tomb, the Table, says, "Never underestimate the power of table talk." The mission of the apostles begins not with a visit to the empty tomb, but with a conversation over a piece of broiled fish. His statement is that while the empty tomb is of huge importance to our faith, it's what happens at the table after the tomb which spurs this movement forward. In today's reading, as I've already mentioned, we are at Easter evening, a day that has never packed much punch in the Methodist church year, because it involves, I guess, a table more than a tomb. The other day, while discussing this passage of Scripture with Emmy and Larry there in the office, and Larry made the statement, said some churches will be having a special service on Thursday because Thursday is actually the day when we ascribe to the ascension. This is a Sunday when we remember that day. And as we find that two of the disciples race back to Jerusalem in another encounter, and they find their 11 companions in a dining room, Jesus appears there in the midst of them and scares them half to death. They think they are seeing a ghost, but Jesus says, "Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bone as you see I have." And then he asks them for some food. They give him a piece of broiled fish and he eats it at their table. And they're sitting around the table and Jesus says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law and the prophets and Moses and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then the scripture says, "And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and says to them, what was written there is true. The Messiah has suffered and has risen from the dead. And now repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem." I can imagine these disciples as they are sitting around the table and they are wondering how in the world this work is going to be done. They are still closed in with fear. They still have not had that resurrection, renewing, empowering experience of Pentecost yet. Jesus looks at them and says, "You are witnesses of these things. And I am sending you. My Father has promised that he will endure you with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem and stay there." Peter. Seems like it's always Peter. Peter and the disciples cast lots and they pick Matthias to take Judas's place. I shared in our study on Romans that the disciples picked Matthias, but God picked Paul. As I think about this encounter and those experiences in my life, when I needed a fresh empowering of God's Spirit, Jesus tells these disciples, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power. He did not tell them to go and to be choosing disciples. Jesus takes them out to Bethany, gives them a blessing, and is carried into heaven. Easter evening ends with the ascension. I can only imagine the experience the disciples must have felt. Scripture says they did go to Jerusalem and spent time there in the temple praising God. But I think about those times in my life when I have lost a loved one or loved ones, parents, close relatives, friends. I have been with friends who have lost children. I think about that void. Some of you as parents experience the empty nest. I know that feeling as well. There are other times in our lives when there is a void that needs to be filled. And I suspect, regardless of what's happening in the lives of these disciples at this time, they have a sense of a lostness. At a table full of food and broil fish and conversation, they hear the direction that God is calling them. I think it's important for us to digest the importance of what's happening when we break bread together. This day we come here for the last Sunday of Eastertide to share this Eucharistic meal. We have been encouraged to come here in love for each other. We have embraced the reality that sometimes we come to this table with our own doubts and struggles and fears. And we come here today with different issues, maybe, but encouraged to have a missional theology, encouraged to have a practical discipline, Christian discipline within our lives that does not build barriers for others who see us in our actions. It's important to remember that the disciples acknowledged who Jesus was when he took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. It was at an after-dinner conversation where the disciples received their marching orders. Jesus wants his followers to be a part of the legacy that he proclaimed, the message of repentance and forgiveness. He wants his disciples to maintain the cycle of gratitude and generosity that they're feeling in his presence. A gratitude that death has been conquered by the resurrection and generosity toward those who need to hear this good news. Jesus leaves everything to his spiritual brothers and sisters, including the keys to the kingdom. He promises the Holy Spirit to empower us to take the good news of resurrection to all the world. And it begins right here, right now, at his table.